Or let us unite our hearts. Lord, we find ourselves in thy presence, and it brings a joy to our hearts. And we pray, Lord, as thy word is open, that thy spirit would direct each of us, that we would simply avail ourselves to the working of thy spirit as he would direct our thoughts on thee, Lord Jesus. In thee is salvation, in thee is hope, in thee is strength and power, and we ask, O Lord, that we would simply be centered upon thee. And this afternoon, that thou would enlighten each and every one of us and bring us unto thee. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, let's, for this afternoon's meditation, read together from the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians, chapter number 5. Epistle of Paul to the Galatians, chapter number 5. Ljubavni želim da se pročita zajednički iz Galašanima 5. glava. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the law are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do those things, that do such things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Dear ones, in this morning I was in the Medina church, and a thought came to me on the thought of Jesus Christ as being a stumbling block, and I looked up the word stumbling block, and I know it's in the Epistle Paul to the Corinthians, but it's also found in this chapter that we read here together. And the thought that, with God's help, I'd like to bring out is the stumbling block. How can Jesus Christ be a stumbling block or an offense unto us? How can, and if we look at the scripture, Paul talks about the Greeks, what they pursued, the Romans and the Jews. And there's none of them, no three of that group that could ever comprehend or understand that you could have the cross as the center of a religion. It just defies everything that what their principles in life were based on. The Romans were all about victory. It's about defeat, defeating others, victory. And so the thought of a cross is a symbol of defeat to them. It's totally unacceptable. It's a stumbling block. They fall over it. And same thing with the Jews. The Jews looked at the cross as a place of punishment for those who are doing evil. And the Greek, who was so full of himself and his, he wants to bring out the best in an individual, to think that a cross is a place that could be the center of a religion was a religion that he wanted no part of. And so ultimately, when we look at and we stumble at the cross of Jesus Christ, what are we actually stumbling at? Are we stumbling at the thought that he had died on the cross? Because that's not what the cross symbolizes at all. The symbol of the cross really is the symbol of what Jesus Christ came into this world to do. He showed a way. He taught a way, and he lived a way. And that way is the offense. His way, his teachings were an offense to the Greek, to the Jew, and to the Roman. A total offense to them. His teachings. Paul here is saying that, why am I'm suffering persecution. Why? Because I will not preach on circumcision. Because he says, if I yet preach circumcision, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. So the offense of the cross is really based on the teachings of Jesus Christ. Paul could have ended his persecution by teaching circumcision that it's okay. And so we look at the teachings of Jesus Christ. We look at his Sermon on the Mount. We look at the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are never something that tell us, do this, be a peacemaker. That's not even, but a peacemaker is speaking of a character of a man. Everything that you found in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, all seven or eight of them, are that which shows the character of a man. Because you can't just take one thing and apply it to your life and think that is the character of who you are. What Jesus came to do is to show us the Father's love. And when he showed us the Father's love, dear ones, it's not something that... With that love, he also showed us the fierceness, if I could use that word, of the anger of a holy and just God. That shines through in his love. And it's something that a Greek or a Roman or a Jew will never want to try to understand. Because I love to understand God as strictly compassion, mercy, which is who he is. But nothing ever comes at the expense of a holiness of a God, of our God. And so when we consider the cross and the offense of the cross, we have to ask ourselves today, okay, this was back then that the Jew was offended at the cross, that the Roman was offended at the cross, that the Greek was offended at the cross. We have to ask ourselves, am I offended at the cross? And we will readily say, no, no, no offense taken. And yet, we have to look at the teachings of Jesus Christ. If the teachings of Jesus Christ are an offense to me, we would say, well, they're not an offense. But if I don't keep his sayings, that means they're offensive to my person. You know, my dear friends who gather with us every week, you're here and you hear the word and you hear the love of God and you hear of his mercy and you hear of his love and his compassion and what he has done for you and you hear everything. And you know it to be true, or you wouldn't come back. If you thought this is just based on a bunch of lies, you wouldn't come back. You believe it in your heart that it's true. But it's offensive to you when he tells you what a character of a man of God is like. That the blessings that fall upon the man whose character is such as we will find in the sermon, which we may as well just quickly go over, the ones who are poor in spirit, the ones who mourn over their sin, the ones who are meek, the ones who are hungering and thirsting after what? Righteousness, not after the pollutions in this world, after righteousness, the ones who are merciful, the ones who are pure in heart, the peacemakers. That's an offense. We say, well, it's not. I just can't attain to it yet. I haven't committed to that yet. The reason there's no commitment being made is because that is an offense to my lifestyle. What I want, my goals, my ideal of a good life, of a life that will be pleasing to me, doesn't include these things. Especially if we go later. When he talks about you and I are to be the salt, we are to be the light. Those are words that are just that I have to be acting or living in a manner, not acting. That's the problem. Is probably we do act too much, but I have to live in a manner in which my light is shining all the time. And that light is Jesus Christ, which means Jesus Christ is in me all the time. He's shining forth in me. Later on, he talks about anger. You know, he talks about reconciliation, how we're to reconcile one with another. He talks about adultery, committing adultery and fornication, divorcing, talking about all these things, making, returning good for evil. My eyes are falling upon this. To return good for evil. That's not the ideal of a man. A man doesn't want to pursue that. It's offensive. So you think, okay, yes, I understand that in theory it's perfect, it's great, it's Jesus Christ. One day, I'll submit to that. Then there's the law that Paul spoke of here. He says, by love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. When he speaks about the law of love in the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about thou shalt love thy neighbor. You heard it's been said, and hate thine enemy. He says, no. He says, love your enemies. That doesn't sound right. And so you put off salvation for another day. Because it doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound quite, you know it's right, because it's the way of Christ. But the bottom line is, after it's all, you sift through your own mind, you come down to one thing. Jesus Christ is an offense to me. And so I will not choose to live the life that he offers me. I won't live it, because it's offensive to me. He talks about giving of alms. Talks about the integrity of a man, and this is what we were talking about. That, you know, we could look at a man. We could look at why is it that we aren't that our Christianity or our faithfulness isn't based upon what we do? And when I say that, I'm going to clarify that. You could have perhaps one of the most generous person that ever walked this earth, but would never be recognized by anybody. Why? Because he doesn't have anything. He doesn't have anything to be generous with. But his heart, it's the character of a man that gets transformed at this new birth that takes place. When the cross is embraced, meaning when Jesus is embraced, when Jesus' teachings are embraced, when the lifestyle that he lived, when his life is illuminating me, and this is what I am pursuing, Jesus Christ, my heart is born again. I'm a new person. I become that generous man. I might not have anything. It's okay. It's okay. God doesn't look at what I have. He looks at what is the condition of your heart. What is the condition of our hearts, dear ones? Is it the extravagances of this world, of this life that I pursue? Because that's not the way of the cross. And so I can justify those things in my heart. And in doing so, the offense of the cross is very real. The offense of the cross is something that is very real in my life. He talks about hypocrisy. Talks about the rule that Jesus gives us to live by. He says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. He talks about entering into the narrow gate, into the wide gate. And then he talks about those who do, doers of the word. That's how he ends his sermon on the mount. The ones who do the things that he teaches. In other words, I've embraced them. And when I embrace them, I do those things. And in doing that, dear ones, what it means is it's the character. My character has been transformed. I am now one who is meek. Blessed are the meek. Can anyone bring anyone Christ to Christ through extravagance? You can show him the offense of the cross through extravagance, but you can't bring someone to Christ, because when he learns of Christ, he will stumble over that. That's what I want, and now I'm stumbling over it. And so imagine that Jesus Christ can be one who we fall over, stumble over, don't want. My dear friends, this isn't just for you, because it's for every one of us, brothers and sisters, those who have been born again. We all need to be reminded who Jesus Christ is and what he came to bring, and the life that he lived and the life that he showed. And anything outside of that, that life is offensive. Not embracing that is an offense to a man who is living by his own desires, passions, lusts, whatever it might be. And so ultimately, the harsh words are, if you choose not Christ today, it's because you're choosing yourself. That is not to be looked upon with, well, you know, that's good. At least they're not. If they're not sure, that's good. Don't make the step. Of course, that's true. Jesus tells us, count your costs. He goes, count. Consider, what will it cost you? Is it going to cost you half of your possessions? You know what it's going to cost you? It's going to cost you everything. Because that's what the cross costs. Everything. Life. Death. And if we don't, as we had the Bible study on Friday, if we don't identify with Christ in death, we'll never identify with him. You can't. Because like I said, you could have the most the meanest of persons can do an act that is good. So you can't judge a man by what he did right there. You can't judge a man by that. Ultimately, only God knows my character and your character. So ultimately, the finality of my life, God knows. Only God knows. You don't know. Because that's what it's speaking about on the Sermon on the Mount, talking about hypocrisies and acts and things that we act like we are, where the heart condition is nowhere near that. And if the heart condition isn't there, so then that means what? That means that Christ is offensive to me. And that's what Paul is speaking of here. That's really my thought is to come when he speaks of the offense of the cross. And he tells us then to stand fast in the liberty in which you've been called unto. He says, but by love serve one another then. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How careful are we, brothers and sisters, and dear friends, to not get angry? Or I might be burning in anger, but I'm going to smile at you. And I could just can't even express what I want to do. But I'm going to smile, I'm going to act like everything's okay. See, the character of the man is known by God. I'm not justified. And we can't continue in that lifestyle thinking it's okay, because that is not Jesus Christ. And so he is an offense to me. How can I call upon Jesus Christ to save me, and yet his ways are offensive to me? The meekest of men. That's offensive to the natural man. It's offensive. Man doesn't want to be meek in any way. And so man will then act like he's meek. And there goes the hypocrisy. As we mask the offense of Jesus Christ, we mask him. We mask it, I should say. And we become actors, which is exactly what hypocrisy means. You're acting out something that you're not. Well, Jesus takes off that mask for us, and he shows us who we really are. And so as we're so careful not to offend someone by being careful in some way or whatever it might be, I'm careful not to watch things that are going to lead me into sin. I'm careful not to drink too much alcohol. I'm careful not to take up smoking. I'm careful to do these things. How careful are we about fulfilling what Jesus said here, or what Paul says? All the law is fulfilled in thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How careful am I in fulfilling this? Is this something that we really even think about? Because we know that the love of Jesus, he spent himself completely for the good of man. And where are we in that? All the law is fulfilled. It doesn't say 50%, 80%, it says all the law is fulfilled. So he says, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So if you're led by the Spirit, you're not led by the law. In other words, now it's not about being careful. Oh, it says that I'm supposed to do this. So I'm when I'm walking in the Spirit, when Jesus Christ is beautiful to me, when he is everything to me, when he is all in all, as Paul says, when he is everything to me, the offense of the cross is gone. The offense of Jesus is gone. I embrace his truths. I embrace his love. I embrace him. And in doing so, dear ones, I then can allow the light of Jesus Christ to shine through me. And now I am a light. As he says, ye are the light of the world. Jesus is calling upon us to shine the light of the gospel unto those who don't have it. How else can he do it? He can do it in any which way he wants. We can't limit God to anything. But he's left, in the age in which we are in right now, he's left it to us. He's left it to us to shine the light to the world. So when we study Jesus Christ and his life and his teachings, don't gloss over any of it. Read it verse by verse. Verse by verse. Read it and see, have I applied that? And is this the way of my life? Because if it's not, dear ones, that means that he's an offense to me. And it tells us that since I haven't fallen upon him and I haven't been broken by him, in other words, I'm broken. It's no longer about me. It's all about you, Lord. If I haven't been broken, then he will fall upon me and grind me to powder. And he goes on and he speaks, which really I wasn't even focusing on the things that he's teaching here of the various works of the flesh that are being made manifest through the different things that we have read, and the fruit of the Spirit, which is made manifest through. We can read those things again because they are life and they are liberty. He says, to exhibit love, to exhibit joy, peace and long-suffering, gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. And he says, there's no law against those things. There's no law against it. You can never be too gentle. You can never be too good. You can never be too faithful. You can never have long-suffering too long. You can never have too much peace, too much joy, too much love. That's the fruit. That's the fruit that comes when we embrace Jesus Christ. When we embrace him. And he is everything to me. Otherwise, dear ones, are we stumbling over the cross? If we live in the Spirit, which we all say we live in the Spirit, then he says, walk in the Spirit. Make that manifest in your life. And so, dear ones, if we look at our walk and we don't see that, that means we're not living. If we don't live in the Spirit, we're not going to walk in the Spirit. May God bless his word upon our hearts, dear ones, to really focus on the offense of the cross, the offense of Jesus, as we go through our life to ask ourselves, is that an offense to me, what Jesus teaches? And am I going to try to go around it, circumvent that teaching, and find a different way? Because the teachings of Jesus never got old. He didn't. If Jesus came today to teach us, he wouldn't have a different method of teaching for this age that we're in right now. It'd be the same words. Because he's the same. He can never change. And his life and his teachings apply through all ages. Through all ages. And may it apply to our hearts today. Amen.
A simple teaching this afternoon, yet very difficult to invoke in our lives. We know that with life, with Jesus, we have life everlasting. If we hang on to our life, the cross will be an offense to us. If our life is more important, then Jesus will not be. But if we recognize when we are at the bottom of the barrel of life that we have nothing to lose and everything to gain in serving Jesus Christ, We will then recognize that we can exchange our darkness for his light. We can exchange our death for his life. We can exchange our anxiousness in this life for the joy and the peace of his. This all can be given unto us when we embrace who Jesus Christ is and what he has done. So when we suffer with him, we will reign with him. When we die with him, we will also live with him. And so he gives us this instruction and says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we can have this joy, we can have this life, we can have this light when we walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen.